with a myriad of technical difficulties this morning, this afternoon, this evening, and
and whatever it is,
and myriad of time. I'm floating in time and space, and I am confused about the day. But hello, everyone.
Hello, girlfriend.
I'm centering myself now.
All right.
I'm doing good. It's funny because Normana was calling us at the same time, and I thought, now why is he calling? He knows.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. How interesting is that? Well, we're just we'll just give it the old college try, and
yes,
you know, you do what the old timers do. You just go forward, no matter what.
I agree, and so everyone, welcome tonight to the Sunday show, and I've been looking forward to it. Except that I have to come clean with everybody. This has been a very struggling week, a week with obstacles after obstacles after obstacles, mm-hmm. and. Ideally, we're interviewing Karen Strang Allen in about 10 minutes, and she's one of the new authors in the Unwavering Strength series. And there's a quote that someone wrote about her, and I love this quote. It's really charming. And it says, "You're a short girl for whom no obstacle is too high." And I read that about her, and I thought, oh, girlfriend, I need you in my life, because right now, every obstacle...
You know, what would the divine say about this? I mean, even coming with the show, your phone didn't work.
The two different
outlets that we
yes.
puppy Elliot had gotten into that we didn't know about. He's leaving little gifts for us all over this home.
Right. And at this moment, all is well. He's quiet, and I feel out of sorts because I'm not in the right room. I'm near an outlet in case I'm going to plug my phone in to charge it up. I've mm-hmm. got my computer nearby, but not too close because I don't want that to interfere with my cell phone. Mm-hmm. All these little things are going on in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I want to just enjoy the show with you. And Karen Strang Allen, if she comes on. I hope so.
Well, we confirmed, and then we sort of didn't totally confirm. So
right.
it'll be a mystery until we... find out.
And here's the thing, another obstacle
yes.
or a faux pas yes. on my case, because I sent an email that never got sent and didn't get out of my draft box. Mm-hmm. It was ahead of the game, right? And put it in there and like, oh, send this out, and just didn't get out of there. So,
well, that we've been having, not just that, I don't know if anybody cares about this, but even our server has been wackadoodle.
And I yeah, good word
right
for
thing,
it.
Our server.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And wackadoodle, I thought you meant. Yeah, that was the right word.
Well, that's a technological term.
it's totally wackadoodle.
Yeah,
and
like
so
I can't actually, you know, piggyback an email. I have to close down shop, go to this thing called Chrome.
Something called Chrome. Please don't say that out loud.
Okay.
Yeah. Something called Chrome. A little less. You know, and yeah, that's all we can do.
And how are you, girlfriend, and, other than that?
I'm doing
okay.
well.
Are you?
Yes, I am.
Are you getting centered?
I am. And I hear a little fine buzzing in the background. I hope that doesn't bother me. Hope it doesn't bother anybody else out there.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but
I'm not hearing it, so...
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
It may be above your register, which is
mm-hmm.
awesome. That's mm-hmm. awesome. So here's something I want to talk about tonight. If Karen Strang Allen does not come on, first off, I want to say you can go to her website, KarenStrangAllen.com, because she has a awesome seminar coming up for totally free this Tuesday night about how to kick off your year and have the best year possible. And I'm like, awesome, this is great. I may do that. And it has a journal as well. Like,
around our...
and I don't know. And her website is, she comes across, you know, she comes across so nice and sweet and full of energy and light and this darkness I'm having right now through this course of this week. I don't know. But I do want to talk about, I throw this idea out to you today about this idea about rules versus constraints. and how we have a tendency to, we put more rules into our life to propel us forward, to force success, to get the weight up, to get the business going. We have all these rules. And does it really work? Are we successful enough to have real change? Is it lasting change? Or does it make us just frustrated? And what's the difference between rules and constraints? What is that difference?
Absolutely.
You know, I also want to talk to you about this idea about there is your aunt, your favorite aunt. The whole year, you were like, I'm not getting any more magazines. I'm done with magazine subscriptions. I'm going virtual. I'll watch on my tablet. And your lovely aunt, who you adore, of course, for Christmas, got you 2 magazine subscriptions.
I know.
One to Oprah's, and the other one is Real Simple.
Mm-hmm.
That's the name of the magazine, Real Simple. And in there is an article that I want to look at real quick. It says the 5 things that you have to tell your partner no matter what. And I'm like, I'm curious about these 5 things. I want to see if you
STDs.
Agree with them or if you want to add a few to them. What did you say?
I said STDs.
Yeah, that would be that would be one. You know, or if you have some really odd kinks, that would be a second.
Yes. Well, the reason I said that was because of, you know, Brandy on the Andy's show, you know, Brandy from The Real Housewives
yes.
of Beverly Hills, I guess one of the guests said that she had an STD or something, and she threw a drink in his face, you know, and started crying on live TV. So that was my reference, girlfriend.
That was your reference.
Nothing in
yeah,
between.
Yeah, it was a very uncomfortable moment. No, no.
Yes, very uncomfortable.
Yes, you won't tell me that you had any other I had either. We're okay. So let's just keep that off the table. But I want to keep tonight fun. I want to move things forward. I want to keep it light. Because I know even with world events this week, it has been crazy energetically. As with the terrorism in France, and then feeling that, you know, the secondary event that occurred afterwards, and just it seems like there's that sputtering of talking going on that we just can't get away from it. So tonight, I want to get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have fun with you. I want to have a little joy
mm-hmm.
and so forth. So,
let's get into life with a girlfriend.
Life of the Girlfriends. So I do not know if Karen Strang Allen is going to be on. So I'm just going to talk one more time about her since we're just not sure. But you can go to her website, Karen Strang, S-T-R-A-N-G, Allen.com. And I want you to go there because I want you to sign up for her free teleseminar. It is absolutely free. And one thing I like about this teleseminar, I haven't done it yet, so I plan on being there. She's offering a journal. I think she says a year free journal, and how to help you move your year forward. I'm like, I love this. What a nice freebie. So anytime someone who is a great coach does all the work is saying, hey, you know what? At this time in my life, I'm going to offer this free to people.
Mm-hmm.
I should take her up on that offer. That's amazing. And, you know, I think you probably got the replay as well, but it's Tuesday, so go ahead and sign up.
Can I ask you
a question? Also, yeah, sure.
Now, is it live on Tuesday?
I believe it's live on Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I just heard our engineer.
Oh, is Karen here?
Hi, it's Karen.
Hi, Karen. Hello, Karen. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
And I can hear you perfectly. Christine, can you hear Karen perfectly?
I can hear Karen perfectly. We're just having a little bit of technical difficulties there. Let's just call them challenges tonight. So. but we're all here. Yay.
And Karen, it was so nice. I've been talking up your teleseminar that's coming up on Tuesday, and I want people to go and sign up. It's totally free. But I love the quote that's on your website that somebody said about you, that you're a short girl, short woman that no obstacle is too high for. And I said, awesome. I love this girl. I love this woman. This is awesome. Before, you know, you're a coach, you're an author, you've written the book Free to Be Me, Create a life you love from the inside out, which we know we have to do if we want to do it. Before we talk about your new story in Unwavering Strength, the second edition coming out soon, could you tell us a little about the teleseminar coming up? Is it still happening on Tuesday and people can still sign up for it?
Yeah, it sure is. It's called Your Most Awesome Year Ever. And yeah, and it's on Tuesday at 7 o'clock Eastern. There will be a replay for a short period of time afterwards if that time doesn't work for people. But it's important to sign up now. So the URL for that is www.mostawesomeyearever.com. And the idea behind this teleseminar is, you know, we often start our year off and we, you know, create a few resolutions. Sometimes we write them down. Sometimes we don't. But then often they don't kind of happen. And it's, you know, and people are perplexed as to why their goals aren't manifesting, why they're not coming true. But so on this call, I go over the three main reasons why, you know, why our goals don't come true and what we can do to shift that. And I help people to create a, you know, a vision for the life that they want to have. And, yeah, and there's a free yearly planner just for signing up.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Now, I tried signing up for it, and I know it says totally free, so the page says, you just want to get this out there now, so in case anybody's confused, I went through your website, KarenStringAllen.com, and there's a part there where you're supposed to put in your credit card, but you say you don't have to. Do they just put the fake number there, or how do they move that forward?
It's because the registration system I'm using, it's typically for products you would pay for. And I don't have a way to change the system. If I did, I would. You do not get charged. It's a free course. So it's...
Okay.
Yeah.
I got it. So you meant to put a number
and
in there, but...
I don't collect people's credit card information either. I don't have any access to that, so...
Great. Okay, yeah. Good. So you may see that out there when you register. Actually, you will, because I did. And don't worry about it. So it's all good. The service is wonderful. So no, I look forward to the teleseminar, and I look forward to getting your bonus of the journal as well. So Karen,
can I ask Karen a question first?
Sure. Yes.
Karen, this is Christine Marie. I'm the mama here. Anyway, I love looking at your websites. And see, Julie and I have been starting something new, just probably around Thanksgiving time. And, you know, listen, we're coaches. I'm a psychotherapist. We understand, you know, goals, visions, business plans, and all that stuff. But honestly, we have been beset with, like, these little minutia challenges that literally, like, stop us in, you know, for 3 or 4 days at a time. Like, we wanted to have a product up by the last week in December. And here we are. And we're probably still 2 weeks away. And it really wasn't anything of our own, but just these little details that continually... What would you say to us if you were our coach?
Well, I guess there's a couple things with that. So... there can be a couple things going on with it. Sometimes when you have obstacles popping up in your way, it can be a manifestation of your own resistance to something. So let's say you have a goal to get this program up, and there's part of you that's, you know, thinking, oh, I don't know if it's going to be successful or if people are going to like it or whatever. If you have any kind of an inner limiting belief, it can manifest as an obstacle popping up that keeps you from moving forward. So that's one example of what can be going on. Another thing with the obstacles and challenges is sometimes they're simply there to firm up our desire to move forward. So, you know, if everything came easily, you know, you wouldn't want it that badly. But sometimes when something, there's a roadblock there, it makes you want it more, which is terrific. It's the universe's way of just making your desire strong enough that nothing's going to stop you. So that's, I mean, there's, you know, a variety of reasons why that kind of stuff can happen, but that's two of the biggest ones that I see going on in people's lives.
Like I said, the first one, you know, obviously, you know, the unconscious is at play, the subconscious is at work, but I could tell you I have zero resistance to this consciously. So what I don't know is that stuff, but my feeling is it's more the universe saying, hey, how bad do you really want this?
Exactly. And actually throw a third thing in there.
I get a little tired, though, of it.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. Believe me, I've had some of those on my path, too. But the third thing to throw in there, too, is sometimes it's a question of universal timing. I really do believe that, you know, things happen when they're meant to. And I've had this happen in my life where I'm like, I want this now, I want this now, I want this now. Why is it not happening? And then all these roadblocks and things like, I mean, I had a massive bicycle accident in the fall. This course that I'm putting on now was supposed to happen in the fall. So talk about life throwing a curveball. I landed on my face and had a concussion, was covered in cuts and stitches. So, yeah, I know all about the roadblocks. But I believe that the like timing lines up for a reason. So, you know, my delay allowed me to, you know, start this right after, you know, the new year, right after a trade show, right after, like, so it lined a whole bunch of other things up that wouldn't have been lined up in the fall. So I'm not sure if that's been happening for you.
And for an outside girl that you are, I know you love the outside, the outdoors, and you're very, very active. That just must have been heartbreaking for you to have this accident. And did it keep you laid up for a while? And
yeah, well, luckily I appear to be a fast healer, and I have quite a few friends in the healing arts, so I got a lot of alternative therapies and healed very, very quickly. But certainly it was, I was laid up for a few weeks and lost some work time, and yeah, but no, I'm not going to let that stop me. So
no,
I have a few scars on my face I'd rather not have, but yeah.
It's called character.
Exactly.
So, Karen, I know that you are, as Christine Marie is, in the new edition of Unwavering Strength coming out, I think at the end of February, I think is what they're heading on to. Can you tell me a little about your story and also why you decided to share the story with the world on Unwavering Strength?
Sure. I've had some pretty big challenges in my life, some and fairly early on, and I've learned a lot through them and really felt the need to share what I've experienced and what I've learned through those to people who are also going through challenges, because when we're in the midst of them, it can be hard to see our way through it. It can be hard to feel like it's ever going to get better. So because I'm on the other side of them now, that's why I wanted to contribute a chapter to Unwavering Strength. So my story, the one I lead off with, I actually talk about two stories, but the main one is talking about my experience with my mom, who was diagnosed with Alzheimer's at the age of 59. And it was, you know, it was really heartbreaking to go through the entire process with her. And she was a school teacher. She was very, very smart. And to see her lose her abilities at the very same time that my newborn daughter gained the same ones was, it was quite a juxtaposition. And it was very heart-wrenching for sure. Mm-hmm. For me and everybody in our family. So so how much of the story do you want me to tell?
Well, no, I mean, and I can see where your Unwavering Strength comes into play with this. Alzheimer's, I mean, it's a, you know, tell us about your relationship with your mom. Being so close to my mom, let's kind of dive into that a little bit about how it was with you before, for the onset.
Right. Well, I guess, you know, I live in Ontario and my parents live in New Brunswick, so I didn't get to see my parents a lot. But we would go home every summer, my children and I, and to visit. And, you know, the difference between one summer to, you know, the fall when I saw her, she came up to my house for the birth of my daughter. And I hadn't seen her in, I guess, at that point, 4 or 5 months. And it was obvious that something was very wrong. You know, she kept asking me over and over where the face cloths were. And she took my daughter out of the room and came back without her. And when I asked her where she was, she had no memory of having even taken her. So, there was obvious signs that there was something off. And I asked my dad, you know, have you noticed anything? And he said yes. And but at that point, they hadn't been to see a doctor, so I encouraged him to take her, and he did. And they took her to a series of doctors and a series of tests, and it actually took 2.5 years to get a diagnosis. Mm. Meanwhile, she was losing more and more abilities, so losing the ability to tell time and to write properly, and then to read and to drive and to sew and to cook and to do all the things that she used to do. So, I mean, my mom used to be a cook at a restaurant, and then she suddenly couldn't follow a recipe anymore, and she was a teacher at a school, and she couldn't follow a lesson plan. So, yeah, it was very, very sad just watching her go through those stages. And you know, Alzheimer's really is kind of a, I've heard people say it's like a disease of a thousand funerals, because every single time they lose a new ability, you grieve again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, and my heart goes out to you and everybody who has to deal with that, because, like you said, it's a heartbreak all the time when you see something else go away, and losing your mom in those small increments, and so forth. Now, with your kids and having them, how are they your strength? I know you're a single mom, and you're out there raising your kids. I'm sure they were there to keep you going in a lot of ways. That was your focus.
Well, I mean, certainly kids can add a lot of levity. So when I would go home to visit my parents, you know, having the kids there to be kind of crazy and stuff like that would, you know, take the focus off of what was happening with mom and make things seem a bit lighter. And they were her joy, for sure, up until the point to where she couldn't, you know, remember them or us anymore. So that was great. And certainly, you know, back in Ontario, gave me something to focus on so that I wasn't constantly thinking about the situation with my mom. So, having the kids was definitely great. But something one of the things in the point of my story, which I call strength and vulnerability, is that I learned that, you know, you don't want to always try to escape from your feelings either. You want to give yourself a chance to feel them. And that's what I did differently with my mom. I had lost my husband, my first husband, to cancer, 15 years before that. And that time around, I had kind of buried my feelings and had tried to, you know, I didn't cry at the funeral. I didn't process anything. And then I wound up, you know, a year later, suffering from depression because, you know, my body and a host of different physical illnesses, because my body was basically telling me that I wasn't dealing with, you know, the problem.
Right. Sure.
But with my mom, I allowed myself to grieve. I allowed myself to cry. I allowed myself to process my emotions, and I found people to talk to who understood. And it made all the difference in being able to, you know, it's not like I would say I love the situation. My mom is still alive. She's in a wheelchair. She's not able to speak. She can't even really look you in the eye, and she eats pureed foods. So, I mean, you know, she's really very incapacitated.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't love thinking of her being that way.
No.
But I've also processed the situation because I let myself go through the emotions and didn't make myself feel bad for what I felt.
And that's a good point, because I think so many times, as you said, when your first husband passed away, we're kind of told, like, well, you can change the way you feel immediately. And if you're feeling bad, even though life circumstances really dictate that you should feel bad and hurt and just heartbroken, you can quickly get uplifted and move forward.
Yeah.
And how do you, as a coach, I'm sure you have people who kind of get stuck at that one area of feeling bad, and you want to help them move forward, but there is a timing when there's a time for everything. How do you
Absolutely.
Kind of work with that?
Absolutely. I even say that there's a danger in positive thinking, and the danger is that if we try to apply a Band-Aid to something without actually admitting there's a gaping wound underneath and letting the wound heal first, then we're not doing anybody any favors. So I would never tell somebody who was grieving from a loss, or whether that was somebody who had died, or if they're going through a divorce, or had just lost a job, any number of different situations, I would never, as a coach, tell them that they should be feeling better right away, or I wouldn't slap on some affirmations right at that point. What I would do is help them to process their emotions and help them to understand, you know, what they're feeling and why they're feeling what they're feeling, and encourage them to do some self-care and self-nurturing and to talk through their feelings first. So like you said, there's a process to it, and you need to allow yourself the grieving process. Otherwise, you just push your feelings underground, and they're going to bubble back up at some point in your life. And often it comes up in people's physical body in a form of illness. So I'm all for helping people process their emotions first, and then once they get to the other side of that and they can start to breathe again and start to see, you know, the light again, then that's the point to move into, you know, the positivity, the affirmations, the what do you want from your life, how do you want to move forward.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's that movie called The Upside of Anger, and I've always wondered, I mean, it's, we all have to go through this heartbreak and some, we all experience loss. It's hard to talk about it. We've gotten better at it, especially with technology. We can find people who've lost similar to us and have, you know, have a shoulder to cry on. Yeah, don't feel so alone. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious, Karen, what do you feel the upside of going through that, the loss, the heartbreak, is there an upside of that?
There is, in both of those situations, you know, I was able to, you know, really see the blessing. I believe there's blessings in every challenge. I don't think that it's usually immediate apparent when you're right in it. So I think the blessing, you can see it, you know, a little bit afterwards. Like I said, you kind of have to allow yourself the feelings you're feeling first. But in both cases, you know, in the case of my husband dying, I realized the advantages of living in a small community. There were so many people who jumped in to help me out and bring me food and do chores for me. My relationship with my mother improved at that point. It motivated me to leave a degree that wasn't really suiting me and switch to a degree in journalism, which was, you know, more playing to my creative side, which led to me being in Ottawa, which led to everything that's happened since, including, you know, meeting my second husband, having my kids, having the career I have now. So you just never know what's going to come from something. So I would never say that I'm glad my first husband died, but did a lot of good things come out of that? Yes, I could see that now, you know. And similarly with my mom, I would say one of the big things from the situation with my mom is it's really motivated me to not put my happiness on hold. I mean, I think many people wait until they kind of think that they should put in their time with their work, earn their money, you know, do the punch card thing, and then wait till their retirement to enjoy it. Well, my mom never got to enjoy her retirement, so that's not a great strategy, and it's part of what I'm talking about in my seminar and in my coaching. I want to help people build a life that they love now, that they have, you know, mini vacations, mini retirements, all kinds of great things in their life now, as opposed to putting it off for some future date that may or may not come.
You are singing to the choir, because someone today asked me, do I have a New Year's resolution? I said, I mean, I have goals, of course, but I go, the truth is I just want to have more unique fun. Mm-hmm. I've felt that I've been in a little bit of a fun rut or deficit. And you're so right. You do not know what's going to happen in the future. But so why put off those things that could give our lives novelty, a break from the job, the career? Even if you love your job and career, it's so much nicer just to have a break from it and expand and rest and recharge the batteries and so forth. You know, Karen, you have a part of your website that I love. It's, I think it's quirky facts about you. And one of the facts, it touched my heart so much because I was just talking to my brother. He's a dad with two young kids and two young girls. And he said, and one of your quotes was, "You never know how much fear you can experience until you have children." Mm-hmm. And we were just talking about that. I don't have kids of my own. I love his two little girls. And he goes, "Sometimes I'm just astonished at how much I'm afraid I'm going to die before they're two, before they're not old enough. I won't be able to see them get married. I'm afraid that something's going to happen to them. I'm just so afraid sometimes." And you express that. And I sometimes think that parents don't get enough credit to say, "Hey, I get that you guys go through a lot of emotional, you know, you have to put that fear away to let your kids grow up, because that should be, that's pretty amazing." So I just want to acknowledge that, because I thought that was a brilliant point you made about the fear.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, it's very, very true. I mean, I can't even watch stories about things happening to kids on the news or anything. I can't even watch it. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, Karen, I just want to say thank you so, so much for sharing your story with us, sharing the pain that you've experienced and how you got over, how you're
very, very strength.
Thank you. Thank you so much. If you'd like to tell one thing to our audience right now, you know, what would you like to tell our audience who are struggling, maybe have this loss going on in their life?
I would say it's to realize that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. It will get better. There will be blessings that will come out of it, even if it really feels crappy right now. And to realize that you're not really broken. You know, you can pick up the pieces, put it back together, and, you know, as I finish my story in Unwavering Strength, in Japanese art, they take broken pottery and put it back together and use gold to stick it back together because they believe that something that was, you know, broken and put back together is actually stronger than it was before. And that can be true for you, too. So just remember that on the other side, there is strength and there is growth. And, you know, eventually you're going to feel a lot better.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I really thank you for that. Because
thank you.
We do need to remember that, don't we? That we, after, you know, that when we have been broken, especially our hearts, they're much bigger. We find more compassion. We find service. In the world, our service in the world. So I thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right, and everybody can go to KarenStrangAllen.com and KarenStrangAllen.com. And what would the other website they can go to sign up for their for the conference, for the teleseminar on Tuesday?
So it is MostAwesomeYearEver.com.
Yay! Well, you can't beat that website.
I'll be on it, Karen. I'm yes. looking forward to it.
Terrific. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much, Karen. Have a wonderful, wonderful night. And I hope we didn't take too much time away from your kids. So thank you so much
great.
For sharing
thank
it. Have a great, great night.
Okay. Bye.
Oh, that was wonderful.
We really enjoyed it. I'm going to be on that website. I'm going to be on the webinar.
You know, it was interesting because I wanted to talk to her more, and yet for whatever reason, internally, I thought, you know, she's got a couple young kids at home. I probably should just abide by the time that I told her I'd take from her.
Right. Yes. I appreciate
so, like,
that, too.
I thought her, you know, she's got two young kids, and I'm just like, you know, they're probably wanting to have some fun with her and before they go off to school tomorrow and so forth. So it's so interesting because this universal thing that we all go through, which is loss, we have such a hard time figuring out the words needed to get over it or to put it part of ourselves and embrace it more so that it can make us better. And I work with it, trying to figure out, well, how do you put this into your life instead of just positively aspecting it in some sense?
Well, I agree with her because, you know, when she said, you know, you just can't put a Band-Aid on this gaping wound, and some people just want to use positive speak, you know, positive affirmations and, you know, like snap out of it, you know. And how she said there's this timing. And even when she talked to us about, you know, when I was posing our dilemma, and she said there's a kind of a universal timing to things that we have to acknowledge, you know. And are also, nothing's going to stop me, you know. What's
I love that. Okay, let's talk about that before we talk about the other stuff. Okay, the three things that she mentioned today about getting, when there's obstacles in the way.
Right.
One is, you could be manifesting it yourself without realizing because you've got some kind of energy block inside, such as, or some kind of belief.
Well, a belief or some kind of resistance.
Right, resistance.
We talked a couple of weeks ago about the author of the War of Art, and how he felt that resistance was not internal, but that is an external thing. That is an actual good thing that you need to learn to work with. You know,
right? And he also gave the impression that that it was also about it by saying it's not inside you but outside you. You can work with it better because you're not internalizing it. It's like, oh, it's me that's wrong again.
You know,
I've done all the processes and now I'm still failing. What's wrong with me?
You know, and see, the thing is there is that element, you know, like that it, you know, you somehow you've internalized it and it's manifesting and it's like, You know, and I'm not against that, but I want people to have real legitimate hope too. And
yeah.
If you think I'm broken, I'm flawed subconsciously, I can't
right.
even, you know, there's that element, you know, too. So, I mean, I like the fact more of universal timing because, you know, we're talking about this products that we're trying to get up, right?
Yes.
And I can look back and even in these 6 short weeks, see, I'll use her term, the blessing in the off timing of it.
Right.
That there's been a couple
yes.
of interesting open doors to us that might not have been opened had not there been these delays. But
and I like the idea.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and I like the idea as well, is that it really makes your desire stronger.
Yes, it crystallizes your desire to. And I was sort of, I love that because I love being co-creator, right? But I
mm-hmm.
went through a real period in my life where I actually believed that if it wasn't sort of easy, or, you know, then maybe
yeah.
it wasn't for me. And I don't hold to that theory anymore.
Yeah. You know what? Thank you for not holding to that theory anymore. Because the older I get, things aren't easy,
no.
even with technology.
Not just technology, but we're dealing with literally employees that really don't give a crap.
Right.
Companies.
Right. And what you feel like, sometimes you go, how does anything get done in the world?
I don't know.
And all you can think of is that the desire to get it done has to be big enough to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels good.
Mm-hmm.
We can get this done. The desire is percolating.
Right.
That rocket of desire, right?
And you can have a business plan or a business model that has this as an end date. And if you miss it by 2 or 3 months, amen. You know,
you missed my
It's not as if you were a failure and your project is snake bitten, you know?
So as we said at the beginning of this year, Mala, I'm really putting, you know, in November we created a business plan, an additional business plan that we're
right.
starting in.
Right.
And we did something that we thought big and dreamed big, knowing that, I love it, like Brenda Burchard said, you know, hey, have a huge goal, have a huge dream. Because you're not going to make it anyway. You're going to fail. But if you fail with a huge, if you fail with a huge dream, you're going to have some success. But
right.
if you fail with a little tiny dream, you might not get done anything. It might be zero net value.
Right.
You know,
get off the ground. Yeah.
You won't even get off the ground. But if you fail with a big dream, hey, instead of shooting for the star, you might land on the moon. And so I say we keep that vision going and having fun with that vision,
right.
that bigger vision and so forth.
Right. You know what? I think that's right. So what I need to do, I'll say, because I get curmudgeonly and I get bitchy.
No.
And no, really?
not you.
But I have to sort of, I think it's because I'm a girl that personalizes, even though I know, you know, mm-hmm. not to do it, when I'm at my most vulnerable, when I'm at my, you know, blah, 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 I personalize. And I'm like,
yeah.
that's what, and so if I keep it lighter, keep the frivolity of it, you know, and don't make it life or death, you know.
Right.
And
exactly.
And you know, like Karen said, you know, don't wait, you know, till your retirement to start having joy. Let's start putting it in each and every day.
I didn't want to tell Karen this, but in her, it was so funny today. You know when you have those moments of deja vu? When you're reading something, you're like, I don't understand this. I'm experiencing this. So I'm with some friends today with Doug and his family. So I guess they're my friends. And, you know, they were asking me about my resolutions, and I said, I just want to have more fun, more novelty. And they said, what do you mean? I said, you know what? I want to do riptide. I want to do those riptides. I want to do kayaking. I want to do whitewater rafting. I want to do, you know, I want to do canoeing. You know, I've got
mm-hmm.
a canoe here. I got a lake. I want to do four-wheelers. I want to do all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then literally, I'm going over again, Karen, and then I'm looking at a different part of her website, and in this really almost like background, it says, there's a time, you know, there's a time when I needed to do kayaking, rip climbing, and all this other stuff. And I just thought that was hysterical.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't know. And I'm having this out-of-body experience saying,
yes.
Girl, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Right.
And because I think because this year, you know, of my back injury.
Because of your injuries, yes.
There's this pent up, like, I can't get free fast enough, you know? I can't enjoy life fast enough because I've had to have this internal spiritual growth occur. That's the upside of this pain and this
and
loss
of
this year.
Without a doubt, it's a blessing. But you know what? And, you know, we love the blessing. We're open to it. But you have, there's no need for you to, you know, internalize it anymore.
And if I have any resistance to having a great future that causes me to have these injuries right now,
I
say stop right now. You know?
Amen to that.
Amen. I just wanted to, you know, share something too, that little article I told you about in Real Simple about the five things that you should share with your partner.
Oh, yeah.
Guess one. Just guess one.
The five things that you should share with your partner.
Yes, no matter
and
what.
What I suggested was not one of them.
No, I think they assume that you're
they
a partner
that.
And you. Okay. I'm assuming, but that's very important. I think if you have an STD, and I think from a mother's perspective, you're like, yeah, your partner better share that with you. I think that would be right. Well, one was, and that was interesting, your online habits. They said,
really?
Share your online habits because no matter what.
Password?
No, not that part.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know. He said, you could. Why not? Mm-hmm. Is it no matter
what
they're going to find out.
Explain that to me. What do they really mean by your online habits?
They mean like websites you go to, who's texting, have an open relationship with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they said because they'll eventually find out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They'll check your history. And
whoa.
They'll know this. I mean, because, you know.
If you're like, you know, looking at a lot of porn, you better
tell your spouse. Or if you're embarrassed of it. Or if you're talking to someone, you know, who has the same hobby as you of riding horses, but they happen to be the opposite sex and you're attracted to each other, but it's just about the hobby. Yeah, still let their partner know. Otherwise, it could go really bad south.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
You know what? Is not, you know, 30 years ago, that wouldn't have been even necessary to do.
No, and I'm sure Normano has never asked you about your online habits.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And you're like, I do have them. I have online habits.
Yeah, I play Pogo for an hour a day.
That's my downtime. That's my spiritual downtime.
That's right. Well, listen, a girl has to win. So every day.
That's right.
And I'm like a Scrabble diva, and I have to win every day.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. Like you say with Elliot, you want him to experience success every day. So do you. You want to experience crushing the other opponent on Pogo during Scrabble.
And I want Elliot to, what was he doing today that we went, Mom, he's being successful.
Oh, I gave him an old magazine. He took the one out of my hand, and I'm like, no, here's an old one. And he goes, okay. And he took it and chewed it up, and I'm like, that's fine.
But
he's chilling in his new cage.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
That's okay, though. It's chewable, isn't it, basically?
Yeah, he's totally free. No, he's chilling. Not chewing, he's chilling.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
He's chilling in his new cage.
That's great.
So, and one of the other ones they said was some obvious ones. They said, if you share your dreams with your partner. Now, you disagree with that one.
I do, but Norm just goes, uh-huh, whatever. It's not like it's like, oh, baby, I want to honor that, and how can I help you reach him?
No, he's like, oh, okay, cool. You go for it.
You go.
No, I'm tired. I gotta go to sleep.
And then he takes a nap.
Exactly.
So, interesting. What's another one?
Another one is share what's going on with work. meaning if you're struggling at work, share it with your partner. Also, if you lose your job, share it with your partner. I'm like, yeah, no kidding, Sherlock.
But, you know, I've seen, like, on, you know, TV episodes, you know, where the guy goes, and you know, the wife just goes, well, what do you mean he's at work? I'm sorry, ma'am, but we found out that he was let go from his position 8 weeks ago, you know.
And for, like, looking for porn.
Oh, my God, what's he doing, you know? But he gets up every morning and goes out, and who knows?
Yes.
Panhandles, I don't know.
Yeah, but who knows?
Keeps the lie going.
Right. Well, and if anybody loves NPR, which is I do, and listens to the podcast and This American Life, there was a replay of an old one, and this woman was talking about how she just fell madly in love with this man, and he, later to find out he was totally lying to her about everything. He had impulse control problems, and which means, whoa, I'm going to cause a big mess in your life, basically. He had said he was working for a political party, had a big office, and it wasn't true at all, you know, wasn't paying rent, wasn't doing this.
And
she just thought he cared about her so much because he would make her lunches and make her breakfast, and to find out they just were broke, so she would just get food someplace and then put together, and, you know, where he's, yeah.
That would not just break my heart, but it would sort of make me feel like that betrayal, I couldn't trust anybody else. It would really be hard for me.
Oh, I totally agree. Mm-hmm. And they eventually
still
broke
have
up.
I like flashbacks from when I was, like, you know, 6 years old, and two of my girlfriends sort of betrayed me over a boy. And so,
yes.
Damn them. I will never forget that.
And gratefully, I'm a person that just never remembers, 40 years later, they're like, I'm going to get those mother. They're dead to me.
I still have my little voodoo doll. Sticking pins in it.
Exactly. And another one is, if you're having money problems, share that with your partner or your money issues, whatever they are. Mm-hmm. I understand that. I think the worst thing in possible is to be not compatible money-wise or not have the same plan, especially
so
if you're sharing stuff.
In your world, your guy, I mean, you believe in no payments. You believe cash is the king. And
yes,
he believes in not just the opposite, but really the opposite.
Yes.
He believes that it's important to make payments on anything you possibly can make payments on.
Yeah, a recliner, a payment, anything. It is a little bit crazy. I think that's one reason why we're not legally together.
Right.
Because
I can imagine.
Let
me ask this question. Because obviously this is not for, like, old married couples, this survey or whatever. But
right.
What if you have a very strong religious belief or a belief in God or in Jesus and that, and then the other person literally is not just agnostic but atheist, you know? How do you see that one jiving?
And you're smiling now because you're
dun,
right.
Dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
You know, it's very interesting. I learned early on that it's all crazy.
That's
my pollution.
It's cray cray, girl.
It's cray cray. I also learned, because I have such a deep relationship with you, that he doesn't have to satisfy everything. Now, see, that's the upside of having, or the downside, depending on how you call it, of having a wonderful, great mom that can be a lot of that stuff for me, you know, that support.
Yeah.
I don't know. It is very interesting.
It is. I mean, do you ever have any deep conversations about it?
Yes, we have conversations about it. We don't fight about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I enjoy the conversation.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, what do you believe?
Yeah.
I'm just like, tell me what you believe.
Great, yeah.
And it's never that when we're dead, we're dead.
I'm sure he goes, I believe in payments.
Exactly. I know, because the one time he tried not to, he really wanted to get out of it, you know. And I go, good for you, good for you. He's like, oh, man, I wish I would have bought that in payments now because I really could have had the cash around. I'm like, oh, forget it. I will never, ever get support you doing this. Do it your way. That's fine. Do it your way. It's all okay. It's all okay. So, everyone, we're getting close to ending our show, and we talked a little bit about rules versus constraints. We got about another minute. I wouldn't mind throwing that out there before we end.
I would love to talk about that. Yeah, because when you proposed that to me this week, I really felt you sort of nailed a characteristic of me that I really, you know, I don't really think about because I'm not a rule girl.
No, you're not.
And, you know, I'm like Laverne and Shirley. Give us any rule, we'll break it, you know.
Right.
But I am a girl that not just loves, but I need constraints. I like to give myself deadlines or timelines and, you know, that kind of
thing. Yeah. It's sort of like being a strict Catholic back in the day to being on a spiritual walk today, you know, like, you know, the rules that you that and also that you'll always break because there's no possible way to fulfill them.
Right.
And therefore, you must be asked for forgiveness all the time. And that's those are the rules. And to the constraints of like, hey, let's love one another. Today, be more compassionate towards another person.
Right.
Today, do you feel love from Jesus Christ? Do you feel that love? You know, how do you explain? How do you display it today? You know,
or today, or even when I'm triggered, I will have the constraint and choose peace. You know?
Yeah. Or even when it's like
to go down the river.
Right. Or even when we're choosing our, you know, choosing to make healthy eating, you know, eating decisions, you know, and changing our diet for the better. I mean, do we go on a crash diet that we know we won't sustain and then feel bad about?
Yeah. And then, have like a yo-yo effect and then wonder why you don't feel good, you know?
Or just have, hey, you know what, I'm going to, after dinner, if I'm not hungry, I'm not going to eat anymore. I'm going to give my body a break. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to make sure I have a protein drink in the morning. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, just make better decisions.
I would call that a free will constraint.
Yes, exactly. I love free will constraints.
Yeah.
Rules make us feel oppressed.
Yeah.
Constraints make us want to move forward.
I'm telling you, I'm reading a really good book out there called Train Your Mind, Change Your Brain, something like that, by Dr. Carolyn Leaf. And you know what? I've been devouring this book. It's very good. And it really does, you know, keep you sane, understand how the brain works and why it is important to have free will with constraints. You know, your brain likes to succeed. Your brain likes to think deeply. And she makes this case against, you know, she talks about this myth of multitasking. Like, she's seen people like, oh, I can't multitask that well. And then they go on, like, I don't know, ADD medications and stuff. And she said, the research shows that the brain enjoys doing something deeply. Singly and deeply.
Thank you, girlfriend. We got to talk about that book again because that's awesome.
Oh, absolutely.
And so this week, let's try not to multitask. Let's give our brain a break and focus on one thing at a time.
And do it deeply.
And I want to say, thank everyone for coming, you know, listening to our show this week. Go to KarenStrangAllen.com, sign up for that teleseminar on your most awesome year ever. Can't wait. And
isn't that mostawesomeyearever.com, right?
Yes, it was. Yeah. You can go to theclutterflyeffect.com to get our book. And just want to say thank you very much. And it's been a great show, huh, Mama?
I love you. It was great.
I love you. It was great.
It was great. It was great.